to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and to the book of Romans chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1 is where we'll find our text for tonight as we continue our study, Avoiding Confusion. Tonight we're going to begin part 1, learning about the existence of God. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Everybody got that? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's pray together and we'll get into the lesson tonight. Father, we're so thankful for your blessings, allowing us to come together to sing your praises, to pray together, and to open the word of God together. I pray that you work in every heart tonight. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith through the hearing of your word. Lord, that you would help us and equip us to have a ready defense for your truth, for the hope that lies within us through your word, through your spirit, and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that if anyone hearing this message, either in the room tonight or watching online, if they are struggling with doubts and questions and confusion, Lord, that your truth would just penetrate their heart and mind, that your truth would sink down into their ears, and that they would hear, that they would believe, and Lord, that you would take away their confusion and give them peace. You would take away their fear and give them faith and love. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help all of us to go away from here tonight encouraged in our hearts and just more hopeful and more filled with faith and love. And help us, Lord, to walk with you faithfully day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we talk about the existence of God. The reality is, whether anybody knows it or not, every person's life is governed by what they believe about God. Our morals, our opinions, our life choices reflect our beliefs in our hearts. In other words, our beliefs determine our behaviors. The choices that we make are driven by what we believe to be true. The sad truth is many people reject God. Many people would just say that God is just a pretentious hero of a fairy tale. But Scripture makes it abundantly clear no one has any excuse to deny God because God has revealed himself to mankind. God has shown himself, and what we need to do is accept the proof that he's given us of his existence. And as we accept that truth, we trust in him, we turn to him, so that we can have a real relationship with him. Have any of you ever seen this bumper sticker? Seen that bumper sticker before? It says coexist. The graphic represents a movement with the idea to embrace tolerance for all belief systems, and the idea of coexist, C is the represents Islam, and the O is the peace symbol. The E is supposed to represent the religion of science with the equation, the theory of relativity and gender equality. The X is the Star of David, representing Judaism. The I represents what you might call paganism. It's the Wiccan symbol. The S represents Taoism with the yin-yang, and the T is, of course, the cross representing Christianity. There's this idea of coexist is not really the acceptance and tolerance of all these, but the idea that they're all equal and they all really don't matter is what it's about. It's the idea of relativism. But what we want to understand from God's word is that God exists. It's not the idea that everything's on an equal plane. It's the idea that God has declared himself to be so. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, when you think about it, God doesn't try to give a great defense of his existence. He just starts his word with the fact that God was. Now, it makes sense. I've got a book up here. Have any of you ever read The Chronicles of Narnia? Anybody ever read it? Highly recommend it. Good reading. This book was written by C.S. Lewis. And I've read this book. It's actually a collection of books. And I've read this, and there's no place in here that tries to defend the existence of C.S. Lewis. Nowhere in here does he go into a defense of the fact that he exists. Why? Because the book exists. We know that the author exists. I don't have to prove to you tonight that there were those who built this building you're sitting in. The idea of sitting in this building and having the idea in your mind that there was no builder would be ludicrous. The fact that we have the building shows us that there was a builder. If you look at a painting, it proves to you that there was a painter. When you read a book, you know that there was an author. And when you look at creation, you know that there was a creator. Creation itself proves that there is a creator. And God's word begins with this statement, "In the beginning, God." He doesn't go into a defense of his existence. His existence is made clear by the reality of creation. Now you might say, well, you can't call it a creation, you just call it a universe. I got to just ask you a question, because there's really only two options. Either you believe that there is a beginning, there is a power greater than the universe that put it all in motion, or you believe that everything came from nothing. Science that people say that they believe has proven that spontaneous generation is not true, that things don't come from nothing, that everything comes from something. And I've told you before, the sad truth is a lot of people today, their defense of that is to say, well, the reason that there's something instead of nothing is because there's something in the nothing. That's a really intelligent statement that they made, and I want to make sure you have time to digest that. The reason there's something instead of nothing is because there's something in the nothing. Well, I'm not real smart, but if there's something in the nothing, then it's not really nothing. Okay. Amen. When we get to Romans 1, if you'd find verse 18, Romans 1 shows us a more developed defense for the existence of God, because God hasn't just revealed himself through all of creation. He reveals himself to people in very specific ways. In Romans 1:18, the scripture says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." God's wrath is revealed because mankind resists his truth. They hold the truth, but they deny his existence. This idea of holding the truth really has the idea to hold down. It's the idea of suppressing the truth. God's given them the truth, and they try to push it down. And they push it down in their disobedience. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, so they try to pretend like he doesn't exist. The reality is God has revealed himself to everyone. God's existence is independent of man's rejection of him. Whether you believe in him or not, he's real. And we've talked about it before. It's just like gravity. Whether you believe in gravity or not, gravity's real. And if you try to jump off of a tall building or a cliff, you're going to find out how real gravity is. And when you pass from this physical life into the eternal, you will know that God is real. But the truth is, he's made himself clear to us today. We look at it today, we see people who want to reject God. And they want to say he's not real. I want you to think about this when we think about the idea of a book and an author. DNA has been called by scientists the human manual. They call it the instruction manual for life. You think about DNA and you learn about it in school, and I don't really understand a whole lot about it. I just know that the instruction manual for every cell in your body is in every tiny strand of DNA. That it literally writes out the story of who you are. Now, nobody would ever believe in their right mind that a book could write itself. But that's exactly what the secularist, the atheist, believes today, that your DNA has written itself, that you just give matter enough time and you'll come up with all the complexity of life. We know better, or at least we ought to. So they reject God and they want to have, like we talked about last time, the humanist manifesto. It's good without God. Their worldview is informed by their rejection of God. They shun godliness. And they respect any anti-God, anti-righteous position that you can come up with. They're accepting of that while denying God. There are those who deny outright the existence of God. There are other people who just question his existence. The agnostic literally means the, to know nothing. They just don't know. They downplay his authority, especially authority in their life. They're secularists. They define themselves as people who have the absence of any binding theistic authority or belief. But really, secularism is just another way of living out practical atheism. They reject God. They turn away from God. Now, in 2021, there's a Barna poll that showed some staggering trends. It says 1/3 of those aged 35 and younger report no religious affiliation. There's a growing trend of those that are out of church. There's a growing trend of those who don't go to church or have any religious affiliation, that not only do they not, it used to be, I just don't like organized religion. Now it's, I don't believe in God at all. I think God is not real. They're skeptics, they're atheists, they're agnostics. The same study showed that among young adults, Gen Z teens are much less likely to have a religious identity than generations before them. And it could be just the fact that Gen Z is getting older and they're entering into adulthood, and it's having an effect on these kind of polls overall. But I want you to get this. Not only are people saying, I don't believe in God, or I question God's existence and all of that, but even among those who are in churches, even among those who would claim to be Christians, practicing Christian millennials, 47% of them believe that evangelism is wrong. I want you to take this in for a second. These are people who are Christians, who say that they believe in Jesus, they say that they believe the Bible is God's word, and they believe not only would they say, I'm scared to talk to people about Jesus, or I know I should, but I don't do it, but they actually believe it's a wrong thing for you as a Christian to take the gospel that you believe in and tell someone else how to be saved. They think it's wrong for you to go to someone else and warn them of the judgment to come. They think it's wrong for you to try to preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel to other people. This is the direction that the world is going. This is the direction that many in Christianity are going today. Belief systems, whether it's a belief in God or a belief against God, they're not inherited, they're chosen. If you believe in God, it's not because your parents believed in God, it's because you made a choice. If you don't believe in God, it's not because you inherited that from atheistic parents, it's because you made a choice to say that you don't believe in God. Now, I want you to understand the truth. God says in his word that he's revealed himself to everybody. You may say that you're an atheist, but I'm going to believe God more than I believe you. God says that he's put the knowledge of himself in you, but people are deceiving themselves. They're saying they don't believe in God, and it's because they made a choice to do so. They've made a choice to do so. There's a couple of ways that God's revealed himself to us, and tonight we're really going to focus on the inner revelation. We're going to focus on the fact that God has given an innate knowledge to us. There's an innate truth that God has given us. Look at Romans 1:19 real quick. Romans 1:19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. It's manifest. The knowledge of God, the invisible things of creation, are clearly seen. God has made himself known. He has given a knowledge in him. Now, I said that nobody's born an atheist. Everybody makes a choice. I'm going to tell you there's two main reasons that I've come up against for reasons people say that they're atheist. One is an intellectual problem. They had questions that nobody would answer, and it caused them to doubt. They had questions that nobody could answer, and so it caused them to doubt. That's why the Word of God tells us that we need to have a ready answer. We need to be ready always to give an answer, to give a defense for the gospel, for the hope that lies within us. You and I need to know our Bibles. We need to know the truth. We need to have a ready answer because there are people who have questions, and it's our responsibility to know the truth. Now listen, if you're questioning today, it's your responsibility to go find the answers. There's lots of answers out there. And I'm just saying, it may have started with an intellectual problem, but I'm telling you, at some point, they decided they didn't want to look anymore. If you want to know the truth, you can know the truth. But there's an intellectual issue. Sometimes there's an emotional issue. I think I run against this more than anything else. Somebody has had something tragic happen in their life, and that tragedy caused them to hate God. It caused them to question God. It caused them to turn away from God. It caused them to deny God. And I want you to understand something today. If you've had tragedy in your life, you are not alone. In Jesus, who died for you, understands tragedy. He understands sorrow. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He understands tragedy. He understands pain because he suffered for you. And I may not have good answers or answers that are satisfy the tragedies that you've gone through, but Jesus knows and he understands. And he loves you even though you would be angry with him, even though you would deny him, even though you would in your heart and mind sometimes reject him. He loved you anyway and died for you anyway. And I want to challenge you to trust in him. Tonight, I want to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to break up into our small groups in just a second. But I want you to consider this reality that we face a world today that's questioning the existence of God like never before. We live in a culture today where not only are those who are skeptics or atheists or agnostics against God's word, but people who claim to be Christians are outright denying the basic truths of the word of God. And we've got to get back to standing on the truth of the word of God. If we would avoid confusion, we have to go to the truth. Let's pray that God will bless as we break up tonight. Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to come together. I pray you bless now as we break up into our small groups. Lord, convict our hearts. I pray your spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. I pray that those who have questions tonight would have the courage to ask them. And Lord, that in your word we would find the answers. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, that you would help us, and that you would help us to be real disciples who are making disciples for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go.